during Rabbeinu Yonam Pirkei Avot, and we had learned the Mishnah of Yehuda ben Tema. Yehuda ben Tema had told us that we have to be brazen like a leopard, swift like an eagle, run like the deer, brave like the lion, to do the will of our Father in heaven. And now he continue another quote from Yehuda ben Tema. Hu haya omer, he used to say frequently, az panim legenom. Someone who's brazen should know he's headed to perdition. Uvashet panim, someone who has shame, legan eden, he's going to end up in the Garden of Eden. So here, there's an addition to the Mishnah that doesn't appear in our Mishnah. However, Rabbeinu Yonah had this addition. But I'm about to read, most people don't know exists. At least not in the Mishnah. But Rabbeinu Yonah quotes it, and it goes like this. Az panim, if you see someone who's brazen, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkana says, mamzer. The reason he's like that is because he's a bastard. He comes from an illicit relationship. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Rabbi Yoshua says, ben nida. You should know that his father and mother had relations when his mother was not pure from her menstruation, and that's why he came out that way. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, mamzer uben nida, he's both. This braita is quoted in different variations. One version says that the three of them, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, and their disciple Rabbi Akiva, were learning together, and a young man walked by and treated all three of them disrespectfully, and they were discussing that young man. And Rabbi Akiva turned out to be right, that he was both. But again, the quote in the Mishnah is, according to Rabbeinu Yonah and the Machzor Vitri, is this braisa is added here. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah, "Kshebaal ba'azut velo nitbeyesh milivo lishto nida." When a man was intimate with his wife as she was menstruating and he had no shame to do that, or he had intimacy with a woman that's prohibited to him, and she also had no shame. So our sages say that the behavior of the husband and wife in the time of intimacy affects how the child will come out, and that's why a child will come out to be brazen. Our sages say it's connected to their attitude at the time of intimacy. So that's this actually leads to a certain leniency. They asked many rabbis, what should one do when they're offered to date a young lady where your concern is that her parents were non-observant and therefore you have reason to be concerned that they bore her when the mother was defiled. She's a ben nida. I had an interesting story once where a person came and argued with me that I set up his daughter with an alumni of ours who was a ger. So he said to me, you didn't tell me he's a ger. I said, okay, I don't remember which of our students are this and which are that. I don't ask before the semester. I don't remember who's what. I try to treat everyone well. So he says, why'd you do that to me? I said, I don't know who's this and who's that. I told you everything I remembered about the student. What's wrong? So he says to me, what's wrong? His parents aren't Jewish. I said, well, at least you know that his mother wasn't defiled when she bore him, right? She's not a ben nida. And he's a direct son of Avraham Avinu. That's a one up. You know, you got two up. He's got the best genealogy in the world. One of the responses says, look at this Mishnah. It says, look at a person's behavior. When Chazal said that if a person was a ben nida, so then they're very brazen. So if you see someone and you see they don't have those qualities, so then you know that the mother, she went swimming in a pool, she went to the ocean, something happened before she was intimate with her husband, And that's why she wasn't. We generally don't say that a woman can go swimming in the pool instead of going to the mikveh. That's true. But to start saying, I don't want this shidduch because I know the parents weren't observant, and so I think it's Rav Ozner that writes. Chazal, we're speaking about traits. Look at her traits. Is she a brazen person? So then you have to think if you want to marry a brazen person. But if you see that she's a good person and she has good traits, so then you have to assume that before they were intimate, before she conceived him, so that month, or maybe every month, she went to the spa, she went somewhere where it happened to be a kosher mikvah, which is not a far-fetched thing. I'm saying people do go to places which are kosher mikvah, even though they don't intentionally do it. Rabbi Feinstein ensured when they built the public pool in Russia, he worked behind the scenes, behind the Tsar, to make the public pool a kosher mikvah, so women can go there, and at least have that. Saying technically, when a woman goes to mikveh, she has to make sure that there's nothing separating between her and the water. But if a woman wears a loose-fitting bathing suit, which in ancient times was very common, because if it's not a bikini, it can be loose-fitting. People wore dresses. People went swimming in shorter dresses, but dresses. Like they wore an outfit, so then it was very simple for a person to go and it be a kosher tefillah. So at any rate, this concept that ben nida is brazen, so that's a concept which also develops into leniency. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer biyadua shlamdu ragle avotav al Sinai. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says if you see someone brazen, so you should know Jews have a natural shame because we stood at Sinai. So it's part of our qualities. We view it as a positive quality. And if you see someone who doesn't have that quality, then you should know that his forefathers are not really, they did not stand at Sinai. Val kulam Eliyahu kotev HaKadosh Baruch Hu chotem, oy lo lemi sheposel zaro ufogem et mishpachto. And you should know that Eliyahu, who's going to come at the end of time, he writes and Hashem signs over the people who is what. Woe to he that his behavior causes people to think that his children and his family are really not, don't have correct genealogy. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah, Shebalachat Mikol Arayot, a person who was intimate with one of the prohibited relations, which we read in this week's Parshiyot, Nachrimot and Kedoshim. It could be his sister, it could be his aunt. Venimtza posel et zaro le'atid lavo. When a person does that, he destroys his genealogy for all of the future. We once had a student who said, Rabbi, I know I'm a Kohen, but I'm in love with a girl I'm not allowed to marry. What do you say? So I said, you know why you're a kosher Kohen? Because for 3.5 millennia, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, all your forefathers were careful not to marry a woman prohibited to them. Your father, your father's father, your father's father, father, your father's 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 father, all the way back to Aaron HaKohen, your descendant, and all the generations were careful to keep you a kosher Kohen. They all married who they were permissible to marry. And when you destroy that, you should know your descendants will never be able to fix what you destroy. You will destroy, you will be the broken link in the chain that will never be fixable. Your descendants for all time will be chalalim. There will be kohanim who will be known that their great-grandfather or their great-great-grandfather destroyed their kahuna, their holiness. They will not be able to get kohen by going up to the Torah. They will not be able to duchen, to give the Jewish people a blessing. They will lose all their rights because you decided to break the link in the chain. So the idea here is, on the moment, a person thinks of his desires. The Mishnah points out to a person, think about the long chain that you're a part of. But if you break it, if God forbid a person has relations with a woman that's prohibited to him, so then he's creating future generations that are destroyed, that are... Pasel etzaro, he disqualifies his future generations. Ve'eliyahu atid legalot al hazeh panim imamzerim imimnei nidaim. In the future, Eliyahu will come and reveal if the people who are brazen in this world, it's because they're a bastard or a ben nida, or shalom de'avotem l'arsinai v'akadosh baruch hu maskim al yado, or it's because they're really not Jewish, and the Ribbono shel Olam will back him on what Eliyahu says. Oy lo lemi shenoseh isha she'ina hogenet lo. The Braita continues and says, woe to a person who marries a woman that is not fit for him. It's not only about marrying someone who's prohibited, it's also make sure you're getting someone who's fit for you. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah, "Kmo bat ha'aretz v'chayotzeva she'inam dakdeket b'nidut." That's like a person who marries a woman who's not careful in the laws of family purity. Shesofa ben niot hazpanim. That's how a person ends up with a scenario that his children are brazen, or that he ends up, he thinks he's keeping the laws of family purity, but it takes two to tango. V'chol ha'posel, pasul. And the Mishnah concludes, if a person disqualifies others, so you should know that he is disqualified himself. Kol ha'posel, if someone says about other people, he's not qualified, you should know that he himself is not qualified. Kol ha'me'iz panav klapei chaverov etole bo psul kedei levaisho, if someone is so brazen that he could say about someone else, he's not qualified, he's a bastard, he's whatever it is, so he wants to embarrass his friend. He says he's not even a kosher Jew. His genealogy is not kosher. You should know that he himself is not kosher. Uvemumo posel. We have a rule. The Talmud says there was once a rabbi on a court. A person didn't like his ruling. So he said, that rabbi is a disqualified Jew. He's a bastard. So the rabbi convened his court and he put out a ruling. Everyone should know that that Jew is a bastard. No one should marry into his family. So the Jew took the rabbi to another court and he said, how dare you say that about me? So the rabbi said, that's not halacha. Kol ha'posel b'mumo posel. You had no basis because it's not true to say that about me. But once you say that, then the halacha assumes that you have that problem. And so therefore that's why I publicized that. It says the court sat down and did research into that man's family and it was discovered just like the rabbi said, and this is what's ruled in Shulchan Aruch. Kol ha'posel b'mumo posel. If someone disqualifies others, if he just wants to put someone down and embarrass him, and so he says about others that they're disqualified, then halachically we assume that that person is disqualified. That's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. V'al zeh amar Shlomo HaMelech. I'll get to questions in a second. And about this, King Solomon said, Evilim yalitz asham. A person who is sinful makes jokes of things that are really his own faults. He thinks he can speak about others badly and he doesn't realize he's revealing about himself. Because a wicked person, when he sees things and he says that's disgraceful about what other people are doing, really he's talking about himself. Like those foolish people who say, why does it smell over here? They don't realize it's them who are smelling. They say the carcass over there stinks. They don't realize it's them that are giving the foul smell. Aval ben yisharim ratzon. People who are straight and honest, they are careful that what they speak is positive. Einam medabrim ela b'shevach v'ratzon. They look for where they can praise and say positive about others. Ukmo she'amar ha'chacham, kama levanim shinea. And as the wise man said, look at what white teeth she has. So there was, he couldn't find what to praise. So he said, how white are her teeth? There was nothing else he could say about her. Okay. But he should find where he could say positive. V'hu miderech musar ve'edut leven yesharim amo. You should know this is testimonial. Those who are straight, they know how to speak positive. It's part of how we build ourselves. And I think that every person has to work on this. And I'll tell you where this comes up. You get a phone call and you're not prepared. Right? You're walking to catch a bus. You're in the central bus station waiting for your bus. Your phone rings. You got 2 minutes. The person on the other end of the line, hi, I'm calling about a shiduch. Do you know so-and-so? So you go, yeah. What can you tell me about them? So then you stop. Well, what do you want to know? Pause. Why can't you say something positive? Because I don't walk around thinking about other people. I don't say, you know, he's got a red tie. I don't think about that. No, it's not good enough. We have to be able to say positive about others. We should accustom ourselves to saying positive about others. It's something that this generation, for some reason, has a very hard time doing, and we have to develop it. and this comes up in Shiduchim, it's dismal to see how people have such a hard time saying positive things about other people. Like the Gemara says, say that he has white teeth. You can't say anything positive. There's good things to say about everyone. Even the most decrepit person, I'm telling you, there's good things to say about him. You could compliment his shoes. You could compliment his taste in clothing. You could compliment how he combs his hair. You could compliment how he comes on time. You could compliment how he participates in the class. You could compliment how, find what to compliment. If he's organized, if he's, you find what to compliment. And there are positive things to say about everyone. It's up to us to notice the positive things about people. When I was in yeshivas, I always tried to avoid speaking publicly. There are other people, let them talk. What do I need to talk for? One exception to that rule. When people would have Sheva Brachos, and then the speakers would get up there, and this one would say Dvar Torah, and that one would say Dvar Torah, and no one stood up and complimented the Chatan and the Kala. So I would ask to speak. Because there's Halacha, you probably all know this Halacha. The Mishnah, and it's in Shulchan Aruch, Keitzad Merakdim Lifnei Kala. Keitzad Merakdim Lifnei Kala. Yeah, that's a Mishnah. Kala na'a v'chasuda. The Mishnah says, you praise her. You say, what an amazing Kala you have. She's so special. She's so pious. Kala na'a v'chasuda. Yeah, so those words of the Mishnah are instructing us on halacha. When you dance in front of her, you're supposed to tell the chassan, boy, did you luck out. Look at what an amazing Kala you got. Part of what we're supposed to do in Sheva Brachos is compliment the Kala to the chassan and compliment the chassan to the Kala. Help them see the good in one another. So that's our job during the speech. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, part of developing ourselves to be ethical people is the ability to see good in others, to say good about others. And this Mishnah teaches us that when people speak negatively about others, you should just know there's a problem with them. Don't be quick to believe what they're saying about others, but recognize that there is a problem with them. And the Mishnah concludes, when a person disqualifies others, you should know they're disqualified. Ve'ino medaber b'shivcho shel olam. Part of this person's tendency is shelo yaskir shvachav shel kadosh baruch hu shemaspikim zonotayhem labriot. He doesn't speak praise about Hashem either. He doesn't say, look at how Hashem took good care of us. Elo omer ki teva olam. Rather, he says, that's nature, of course. Yeah, there's food. That's natural. Kinyan shamu masech brachot, as the Talmud in Tractate Brachos teaches us a rule. The Talmud says, Achsenai tov omer, a good guest. What does he say? Kama tarach ushpizai. Look at how much my host worked. He made me such delicious chont. He made me such delicious potato kugel. He made me such delicious rice. Look at how much he worked. He cleaned the dishes. He set up the house. He set the table. What a fantastic meal he prepared for me. Achsanai rama omer. The Gemara says, what does a bad guest say? Kol ma shetarach tarach bishvilo. Shibanotav uvanav. What do you mean? He had to prepare all that food for his family. I'm just one guy. He prepared the chulin for himself and his family. He prepared the kugel for himself and his family. He cleaned up the house for himself and his family. For me, no, I got something out of it. But he did it all for himself. That's a bad guest. A good guest says that, wow, you prepared so much for me. Thank you so much. And now it's an attitude in all of life. It's an attitude we choose. And Chazal say it's an attitude to living in this planet as well. Do I say, what a beautiful day God made for me. Look at what a wonderful breeze and sun and beautiful trees. There's a beautiful planet God created for us. Appreciation for the beauty. Or do I say, yeah, okay, that's nature, that's life. But I don't understand why I can't get that A or B or C. Sof adam lamut v'sof beima l'shchita u'ma'iton nebal alashon. The Mishnah tells us, you should know, man ends up in the grave, the animal ends up slaughtered, so think before you speak, because at the end it's all gone. What are you accomplishing with your speech? You have to think about it, because there is an end. Very often people use their speech to try and fight for things or gain certain honor, and if they would realize that it's all finite, it's all going to be gone in the end, so then they would think about their investments differently. Why do I have to worry to impress everyone? Why is that so important right now? It's all fleeting. The things that like honor and etc. Those are fleeting. So when we speak, if we think about long term, what will be accomplished over the course of the next millennium by what I say right now? So then our speech is different. And on that note, I I want to challenge you to think. We're at a critical juncture in Jewish history. Today, there are tens of thousands of Jewish children whose parents know what Judaism is, and the children don't. Oh, they know they're Jewish. And they're curious, but they don't know too much about what Judaism is. And if nature takes its course, in 20 years, that generation will be gone. We're going to be up to the next generation who has no concept that they're even Jewish. Oh, they might have some, you know. I have a Muslim friend, I have a Hindu friend, I have an Indian friend, and I guess my parents are Jewish too. Big deal. Today, we still have an opportunity. And today, we live in an age where individuals can affect change to the whole world. People put up stupid YouTube videos and they get a million views. Blows my mind what things get views. A friend of mine showed me this week what all the kids are watching. And it sort of made me wonder how many brain dead kids there are out there. Because it's mindless. You have to literally be, I don't know. I looked at it and I said, who could watch this for more than 5 seconds? This isn't intellectually stimulating. You have to be half dead to appreciate stuff like this. He showed me two videos. He showed me one, a girl describes a gift that she got. So she takes out this toy and she spends 25 minutes discussing this toy. How could you watch? Go play with your own toys. And then he said to me, why does that bother you? He said, let me show you what adults are watching. And he showed me a 20-minute video of an adult that also has a toy. They have this like pet cat where you could push this button and it moves its tail. You could push that button and it moves its leg. I said, who watches this for more than 10 seconds? He says, look, she's got a million views that are... I said, 20 minutes? He said, sure, I would watch this. I said, I don't understand. How do you spend 20 minutes watching someone else play with a toy? Like I said, I don't understand. But if people are spending their time on mindless things, then there's definitely potential. And today, individuals have a much greater potential for impact than ever before. Today, everyone has access to YouTube. Everyone has access to the internet. So that means, I think it was the Rebbe of Chabad that said that Hitler was supposed to teach us that if one man can cause so much destruction, then one man can also cause at least and actually much more good in the world. We're supposed to learn a lesson from what one man can lead and do. So I think when the Mishnah says think long term, I think that's also something that we have to think for ourselves. And every person can be a part of making long term change for the good in the world.